A friend whose husband died recently reminded me of this story, and they were reminiscing about their spouse and told this story about, so they have a couple friends. They say have a, you know, couples invite couples over. It's what you're supposed to do, right? Yeah, so this couple had this other couple friends over, and her spouse was really not looking forward to it because one person in the other couple is annoying. Is one of those people that has no filter and actually just says like obnoxious thing after obnoxious thing without realizing they're saying obnoxious things. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So this is what happened, and she was completely prepared for her spouse to get to the point where he could no longer hide that he was getting annoyed, right? But they got further and further into the conversation. They were having dinner together, and he kept cool the whole time. Even though she did in fact say obnoxious things, he kept his cool. And she was so astonished, this friend of mine, that when the door closed, immediately she says, what happened? How did you do it? And he said, my hearing aids, they died early in the conversation. I just didn't bother to do anything about it. Ah, that's how. You who have ears, hear. What does it mean to speak and to listen authentically? Because Jesus does, in fact, admonish the crowd, those who are gathered, the disciples and the strangers alike. He admonishes them and then the disciples with greater explanation to both share and hear. I'll note that the special disciples-only explanation doesn't actually make things super clear either, though it's something. But this much is clear, and made clearer in other parables of Jesus. There's only so much that you, as the sharer, can do. There is so much that is outside of your control. You can't make people hear you. It takes both sowing seed and diligent, persistent growth. It takes both a person willing to share the word of the kingdom and a person willing to intentionally incorporate what they hear in their daily lives. In other words, as a colleague of mine often has repeated, relationship, relationship, relationship. As Jesus presents it in this parable, it's the sharing that's the easy part. Though I'm not so sure about that either. We'll come back to that. Jesus instead focuses on the one who hears, assuming they're in a place to hear the message at all. But let's say that they do hear it. There are those who hear but do not comprehend. Right? Like it just doesn't register. I think you all know people like that. Jesus places the blame here on the evil one, which, by the way, I find helpful because it's way too easy to blame the person who does not seem to get it. But there are reasons why people are not in a position to get it. That can look like any number of circumstances that keep us from fully and authentically engaging in Christian life and community. Just for an example, it could be a complete and utter disgust with the church based on personal experience, like judgment or betrayal by church leaders, or a more general sense of moral bankruptcy. I have personally known many people who fall into this category. Certainly, it is symptomatic of evil in the world. Next is the one who receives joyfully the word of the kingdom, but there's no intentional growth within a community. I have seen this, especially because I work with young people. I have seen this with young people occasionally where they get so excited at one youth event. But they're like a friend who comes along and then they don't continue to come to church or come to youth group or come and form relationships, form bonds with peers and with mentors so they can continue to grow and dig in their roots deeper. And the journey ends, at least temporarily, before it even really got started. And finally, there is the one sown among the thorns, choked by the cares of this age and the lure of wealth. I mean, that doesn't really need to be translated. That makes entire sense today, don't you think? And yet, I will point out a few unique things about the world in which we are living today, where there are particular challenges that we face, including, my favorite, devices. Right? How can we form connection when we've invested so much of our time and attention in a screen rather than in the people who are around us? And then related to that is an overwhelming epidemic of isolation, where people do not have real, authentic community in which they can live and grow and explore and be. And then to add to that, the lack of access to affordable mental health care is a huge barrier for so many people. With all of these barriers, how does anyone hear and bear fruit? And to add further complications, sowing the seed, sharing the word of the gospel is not always so easy. Do you know the words to say when the time comes? Even with those who you are closest to, your own family, do you know what you can say? Amen, Wilford. And for that matter, you already know this, but people generally will not come to you, even your closest family will not come to you and say, please, would you share the gospel with me? People are not going to do that, right? And so how do you find opportunities to share the good news that you find in a worshiping community? Well, I'll tell you this. Even the sharing of the good news requires listening. It requires listening to people's stories, to listen carefully and closely to what is in their heart and what they are challenged with and what they wrestle with. In other words, relationship, relationship, relationship. It requires listening to the cares and concerns of their life, whether they are in your life for the long haul or it's just a one-off conversation. Listen. Listen for what is in their heart. I'll tell you, this is actually something that is so essential to ministry that it's something we practice in seminary, right? We have a whole class on pastoral care, and we practice with just 1 minute. 1 minute, which seems like no time at all, but all you do in that 1 minute is listen actively. And don't respond, right? Don't say any words, but only give nonverbal cues that you are with them. You can nod, you can lean in, you can reflect their emotions, but say nothing. And then you advance a little further until you finally get to the point of reflecting back, of paraphrasing what you're hearing, and maybe even asking clarifying questions. But it takes a lot of intention. And this isn't just good advice, by the way, for sowing the seeds of faith. It is good advice for living in this life. In a world where we are so divided and so isolated, it is important that we actually listen attentively to what is at the heart of what people are saying. And finally, when you have listened well, when opportunity allows, you can share not what faith and God and Christian community can do for them, but simply what it does for you. Give a testimony to your own life, your own experience. Why is it that you are a part of this thing called the body of Christ? There are so many barriers for so many people. Perhaps it is no wonder that Christian identity and faith practice is shrinking, at least in this country. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. The astonishing thing is not how hard it is, because we all already know that, don't we? The astonishing thing is that somehow, by the grace of God, God uses us to share the good news of the kingdom of God. God uses our relationships, relationships, relationships for the good of the kingdom of God. Our relationships of listening, our relationships of sharing authentically in this life, and last but certainly not least, the relationship God forms with and among us. There's so much that is beyond our control. For in the end, when faith takes seed and grows, that's a God thing. Or as faith often calls it, it's a yay God, right? Or as we call it at bedtime, when we do our bedtime routine, we call it a God moment, right? Where we point to those ways in which God shows up in our lives. Rejoice in these moments where God seems to break through somehow all the barriers and form connection, faith, hope, love. Rejoice in the promise, as Jesus says in another parable, that God produces the harvest and we know not how. And so let us go out in joy and be led back in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.